We're in a new season. The body of Christ is entering another season. It's another watch also. Have you been responsible for what God's given you? If you have, you'll get more. If you haven't, that what you have will be taken. It's a new season. Devil's on the run. It's on a run to those who love the flesh, seeking whom he can devour. That's what the Bible tells us. And in this place that God is bringing us to, it's about exposure. Of course, he always brings us to those places, doesn't he? So where there's another season, there's another reason. In other words, God is getting ready to move something specifically to attack a part of the kingdom of darkness strategically. You know, so many times we get so caught up in our traditions that we lose sight of what God is really trying to do. There are many movements of the Spirit. And in certain areas of the country, it's not always the same movement. Because in certain areas of the country, in fact, certain areas of the world, he's strategically pulling down strongholds. He's strategically hitting principalities. In other words, God is always one step ahead of the devil. The Bible tells us that the Spirit will guide us into all truth. The whole thing is to be led by the Spirit, and by being led by the Spirit, you'll always be one step of the devil. It's when we go astray that we fall short. Let me share something with you. The devil, we have dominion over. Amen? Majority of the time, your worst enemy is yourself. And the Spirit gave me something that was interesting. And we want to talk about victory over self tonight, okay? First of all, we need to find out what is self. Go to Genesis 1. You know, so many times we're trying to break, cast down, bind. You know, you can't bind self, I hate to tell you. And you can't cast out self. I'd love to, but it just don't work. So we've got to take authority over self. First of all, we must recognize what self is and what it represents. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and the Lord said, "Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. According to our and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Now that's pretty intense, if you really think about this. Because he says, okay, let's make man, and they're going to be like me. You know, God loved, he wanted to share his love with other creation. So he created man. Because man was the express image of God's love. He said, "There they are, they're in my likeness and image. Oh, I love them just like a big teddy bear, you know." He loved them. He said, "Okay, now in my likeness, I'm going to give you something. Authority, dominion, and power to rule." In the arena of having dominion, power, and authority was not to take advantage of it. It was to be an arena where accountability was. It wasn't to be abused. So God, in verse 27, it said, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." Now listen, Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. Amen. Eve came from Adam. Now there was no sin, no fallen nature there. Amen. There were a character that was going to complement one another, and the expression that God created man to complement one another. Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. Then God what? He what? Blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." In other words, take authority. "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So he was saying, listen, here it is. You're made in my image. You're made in my likeness. You have my character. You have my dominion. You have everything. You be just like me. So Adam and Eve were created as an expression of God's love. Because God is love, isn't he? Amen. With his character and his image, God expressed himself. Now listen to this. God chose to express himself in another dimension. That's why he created man. Because God was spirit, wasn't he? Adam and Eve were glorified, but they had tangibleness to them, didn't they? They were made in His image and likeness. But it was a whole other dimension. So God expressed His love in another dimension. Does everybody understand that? Because the Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, in other words, He created time and space. So what He did out of eternity, He took a chunk out of eternity, this big square, I'll call it a big rectangle, whatever you want, out of eternity, pulled it out, and He said, this is going to be known as the universe. And I'm going to create time. And there's going to be a beginning and an end because I am the Alpha and the Omega. And in this, people will be bound, this whole segment will be bound by space and time because I'm setting up as another dimension that I may express myself in this creation of who I am. That man may understand me. Does everybody got that? Okay, cool. Now, what did He do? Well, He gave them dominion. Amen. And here was now He created relationship with man because He used to meet them in the garden. Because the Bible said He in the cool of the day. See, they began to listen. They didn't see God like a person. They knew Him through His creation. They knew Him as a wind. They knew Him as the voice. They knew. Do you understand that? They knew Him. Out of everything that He created, that was the expression of God's love. So everything that they looked at, they represent it. Everything they saw, no matter what, they knew it was the expression of their Creator's love. He spoke to them through everything, no matter what it was. That's why when the Lord said, okay, now listen, you're in Holy Ghost boot camp now. I've given you my character, my wisdom, and everything. Now, I want you to begin to utilize it and practice it. So there's going to be some challenges here. Because I want to teach you. So He said to them, listen, you can eat of all the trees in the garden, but there's one you can't. Well, you got to understand something. God expressed Himself through His creation, didn't He? But He told them, listen, I'm not an expressing myself through this specific tree. That's not my expression. But everything else is. He warned them. Oh, hallelujah. And I'll go to Genesis 3. One of the things that the Lord was training them to be is like-minded with Him. Amen. Now, the serpent, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in the garden, was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden? Now, this tree is expressing itself because it is an expression of darkness. It was the serpent, wasn't it? Now, I'm not going to go into the whole teaching of where the serpent and all the other stuff. He had a right to be in the garden. I'm going to tell you that. You can get the teachings to find out why. But anyways, He had a right to be there. So what did the serpent was expressing Himself and He was speaking to Eve, wasn't He? One of the things He did is He challenged her with a question. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, in other words, where you be, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, this is very powerful because prior to that, we know that God expressed to Adam and Eve that they could not eat of the tree. Now, there's another expression, which is another level, and she said that they couldn't touch it. So here, we know that God told them more than once because Eve could not lie. Hello? Now, she said, we can't even touch it. Is everybody with me? Lest we what? Die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So the serpent called God a what? Liar. Oh, hallelujah. Now the serpent had a specific plan here. He was trying to start something. And he said something very powerful. He says, for God knows that in the day you eat of your day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, what was the serpent doing? He was planting seed. He was planting seed. See, because they didn't have corruptible seeds. They were the seed of righteousness. Now, there was other seeds beginning to be planted, imparted. So now, the serpent was getting her attention. Something began to happen that she didn't understand, and it was called reason, Wait a minute. Wait a minute. See, the draw of that deception, she was trying to break away from. Now, you know, it doesn't say how many times she broke away before. But only records this time when she won't break away. Hello. Now you notice Adam wasn't there. Because one caused a thousand to flight, two caused a legion to flight. Because dominion would have been taken. Listen, the devil doesn't he doesn't come usually when you're in a group. He usually comes when you're by yourself. You know, that's when he attacks you. Because he's a weenie. Hallelujah. Now listen. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now this is very powerful, because what had happened was their eyes were actually shut to the things of the spirit and open to the things of the carnal arena. Because once Adam took and ate of that, he gave up his authority and office, and the prince of power bearer immediately took over. Is everybody with me? Okay. Now this is very, what was his purpose? You know, you got to think about this. What was his purpose? We know that God had them in the garden, and the purpose was that they would be like-minded with God. Their motive had nothing to do with self, did it? Nothing to do with self. See, you got to remember, the serpent was a promoter of self, wasn't he? That's what he promoted. He wanted to exalt himself above God. Everything was about him. Me, myself, and I. Trinity of Satan. Amen? So what was he trying to do? He was trying to produce offsprings. And he needed a family to start with. Hello. What was he trying to do? Produce self. He succeeded. For the first time, there was self. Look at what happened to them. Their eyes were open. And they, what did they do? They sowed fig leaves on themselves. Why? For the first time, they were consumed with themselves. They didn't know anything about that. Everything changed. They were consumed with their self. Now look at, Daddy saw this. Of course, we know that he went to them and he said, Adam, well, where are you? And Adam was hiding. And he said, where are you? Like he didn't know where he was, right? And Adam said, man, I was hiding because I was afraid. And the Lord said, well, who told you you were afraid? He said, did you eat of that tree? Why? Because it brought everything to self now. Something happened. Adam and Eve that were one in the spirit are now divided. Where their spirit, soul, and body were one because they had a glorified body, now it was divided. And self was birthed. Has everybody got that? Self was birthed. Oh, hallelujah. And in verse 21, it says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. So we know that the Lord had to kill an animal in the garden because he was taking a life for a life, right? Because now we know that Adam and Eve had to die. They lost their eternal life. Why? Because self brings death. Hello. And then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Wait a minute. He created him as in image and likeness. Yes, but there was a part that God hid from Adam and Eve. And it was about evil. Just because God knew it, he didn't fellowship with it. And he wanted a fellowship with Adam and Eve, his creation, the expression of his love. He did not want a fellowship with self. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because self represented the serpent. Now look at. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand to take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out self. Does everybody understand that? He drove out the man. And he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Why? The Lord removed Adam and Eve because they had become self. What is self? An independent spirit. No longer dependent, but independent. Hello. What did he do? He drove them out of his presence. He drove them out of the place of fellowship. He drove them out of the place of blessing. Even though he blessed them, because he restored covenant with them by the sacrifice of the animal. He said, I'm still going to fulfill what I said to do, but you're going to have to do it another way, not according to the way I planned it to do, but here's plan B. Because you blew it. Hello. Well, doesn't the Bible say all things work to the good to those who love the Lord? Well, it's, you know, his word hasn't changed. Now listen. Self is an independent spirit trying to fulfill the character of its birth association in the dark in the garden. Now listen, what's its birth association in the garden? The serpent. Self is an independent spirit trying to fulfill the character of its birth association in the garden. Now listen, that rejects guidance of its creator. It rejects guidance of its creator. It's attributed to the spirit of pride. I don't want me to say that again. Self is an independent spirit trying to fulfill the character of its birth association in a garden that rejects the guidance of its creator. That's self. It's attributed to the spirit of pride. Listen, self promotes self and associates with others that compete with promotion of self. Self promotes self and associates with others that compete with promotion of self. Think about the world. Isn't that what it is? Look at you. When you see all the world flesh creatures, you see nothing but self, don't you? Self promotes self and competes with others that are promoting self. God drove out the man of self because he doesn't associate with self. The devil does. Oh, go to John 8. Like I said, victory over self. First, you got to know what you're associating with. In verse 42, John 8, 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself. Hello? Of my what? Self. I've not come of myself. See, he knew all about this. We're just catching up on it. But he sent me. Now, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the what? Devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. In other words, he's saying, yourself is not of God. Why? Because it was birthed from darkness. Oh, hallelujah. Self, you ready for this? Is a child of the devil. Self is a child of the devil. The Bible says that you and I were what? Born in darkness, weren't we? That's why we must be born again. Go to Luke 9. I'm telling you, we really need to get this understanding because we need to get the understanding of what Jesus was really talking about. Because see, Jesus was actually, now think about this, Jesus was the will of God manifested in the natural realm. You want to know what the will of God is? Then you better know who Jesus is. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Then he said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Why? Because self ain't coming. I will not have fellowship with self. And take up his cross when? Daily. Oh, hallelujah. Take up his cross daily. It's too bad people take up their cross once a week. And you can tell. Take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his self, life, will what? Lose it. But whoever loves his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So denying himself is a daily process. In other words, what we are denying is that child of the devil. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. So he's telling them and showing them what he's got to do, right? Oh, he's expressing that he's going to have to die. Jesus was born to die. He did not come of his own will. He did not come of self. He was expression of his Father in love, which was lost in the garden. Does everybody understand? And he brought, this was the second opportunity that God had come or expressed himself. He expressed himself through the creation of Adam and Eve, and then he expressed himself through Jesus, the Christ. It's amazing how the first time the garden was closed, but then it was reopened to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And that's where the fight was, wasn't it? Jesus didn't die on a cross, he died in the garden. What did he die to? Self. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Or what he was actually doing was promoting self. Saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. I'll kick butt for you, baby. Ain't nobody going to kill my Lordy. I got it down. You're the man. I'm telling you, I'm going to kick butt on anybody that tries to get to you. They got to get through me first. It's me and you, Jesus. Yeah, we're tight. We're tight. We're down. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, self. Get behind me what? Satan? You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the mindful of the things of men, which represents what? Self. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. This is going to change your whole view when you read the Bible. Why? Because the Lord is bringing us to another place in another season. You know, your fight is not outwardly, it's inwardly. In verse 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections, representing self. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be what? Unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Why? What's an unbeliever? It's a child of the devil. Hello? He said, man, don't be hanging around with them. It's a child of the devil. Why? Because it's a promoter of self, isn't it? Amen? A promoter of self. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, or if you'll do this, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. Now, didn't Eve say that also? And I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, this is powerful. Because the first key that we must understand and having victory over self is sanctification. If there is not sanctification, you will never have victory over yourself. That's what he's saying. Come out from among them. Come out from among them. Why? Because there's corruptible seeds. Listen, you still carry self in you. Self is not dead, and everyone knows it. You deal with it every single day. You sleep with it. You'd like to zip it off and hang it in your closet and not talk with it or fellowship with it, but it's still there. It's still there. It still nags you. It's a thorn in your flesh. That's what self is. It's an infirmity. It's a weakness. There's that fight all the time with self. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. But if you are not the first key, and I just want to share this with you. It's very important because I want to share seven keys, seven attributes, or whatever you want to call them. Seven things, I don't care. But there are seven keys that I want to share that is important to have victory over self. And the first important one is sanctification. You must be separate. You must be separated from those things. Listen, people are still feeding self by TV programs. People are still feeding themselves by music. People are still feeding themselves. I'm talking about things of the world. The Bible says he who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Not that God's their enemy. Do you understand that? They're God's enemy. Amen? People are still associating with things of the world and feeding themselves. Hello? With the things of the world which promotes self. People are still looking at things. Believe me, you know how many believers are in a fornication? You know how many believers are in a pornography? It's ridiculous. You know what they're promoting? Self. And they think they can get away with it. And they play holy roller. When actually they're not rolling for anything. The Bible says anything that's you're building on that God has delivered you from as an abomination. Why? Because he's saying then you're promoting self again. You're promoting self. Oh, hallelujah. The first key is sanctification. Let me share something with you. The anointing is a person. Hello? It's not just some foo-foo thing that comes on you. It's not just goosebumps. The anointing is a person, and he's the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, do not quench the Spirit. When you promote yourself, you quench the Spirit. That's why Catherine Kuhlman used to say, I die a thousand deaths. What was she dying to? Herself. That's why Jesus said, you must deny yourself. Look at how many people. Now listen, I'm just sharing some things here, so don't be offended. What do you think drugs and alcohol promote? Self. What do you think overeating promotes? Self. Amen? What do you think laziness promotes? Hello? All of these things promote self. If it promotes self, hello, it promotes the child of the devil. That's why, you know what? You get frustrated after a period of time because you know that fight. I mean, it's like, man, he's right there and you're casting out the devil and you're doing all kinds of things. But you can't cast out self. And you can't keep blaming the devil made you do it. Because the Bible says you have dominion over him. Just said it. Right? We have dominion. Now go to Romans 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the self. See, you know, what do you think flesh promotes? Now, let me share something with you. Your flesh is either going to serve one or the other. Whatever has dominion on the inside is going to have dominion on the out. The Bible says, and whatever you serve, you become a slave to. So whatever is taking authority within, whether it's self or the child of God or the child of devil, your flesh is going to manifest it. Is everybody with me? Praise God. Now, it says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. It means the carnal things, the things of the world. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, or to be selfishly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or hates God. Why is the carnal mind hating the things of God? Because it's the child of the devil. It's known as self. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. It can't be. It can never be. That's why dominion must be taken over. That's why the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. The mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. It's the anointing that separates the old man of self to the new man. It's the same thing that's in the garden, right from the original state, where there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil and a tree of life. That's you now. That's you. The tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not removed from the garden. It wasn't removed from the garden. Its offspring was. Does everybody understand that? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not removed from the garden, only its offspring. That's why there was a guard put around the tree of life, because he wasn't going to allow that thing to continue to live forever. Live according to the flesh, which means self. Mind of self is death. Darkness is death. Listen, self promotes pride. Pride promotes lies. Lies promote fear. And behind every fear, there's an idol. Remember, we talked a little bit about this. I think it was Saturday. Yeah. Self promotes pride. Pride promotes lies. Lies promote fear. And behind every fear, there's an idol. And that idol is self. It starts and finishes with self. It's the same thing that happened in the garden. What was the first thing that affected Adam and Eve? They were what? Afraid. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. And his power is fear. So the first thing he had to do was deceive them. He deceived Eve. Eve deceived Adam. That was the first key. Then what happened? Fear entered. Because why? Now his power took over. And what did he control them with? You know, the devil's nothing but a controlling demon. I can't say he's a controlling demon, because a demon is a disembodied spirit, but he's a controlling angel. His whole purpose and function that he has is in control. How does he control people? By fear. Think about that. Now listen, here's something else. Okay, so self promotes pride. Pride promotes lies. Lies promote fear. And behind fear is an idol of self. Self starts and finishes with self. Anger. Now we went from promotion. Now I want to go to protection. Anger protects pride. Did you ever notice people that are angry? They're protecting what? Pride. Pride protects self, and self is an idol. That's why Jesus said you must deny yourself. Why? It's idolatry. Go to Luke 14. Anger protects pride. Pride protects self. Luke 14. So the first thing we talked about, the first key is sanctification. Separate from them. Do not touch those things. Don't feed yourself with the music of the world. Don't feed yourself with the TV of the world. Don't feed yourself. You know how many people that, I mean, it blows my mind. You know how many believers are showing up at bingo places? Man, it's just, I'm like, where are you going, bingo? Bingo! I mean, you're going to go gamble. Yes. I do it every weekend. Well, why don't you go to a Bible study instead of bingo? Bingo. Yeah, right. People go to church, the bingo in the hall, you know. Yeah, we're going to the church. Oh, really? Yeah, we're playing bingo. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're learning all that stuff. Oh, hallelujah. And they wonder why they open themselves up to stuff. You know, hey, don't hallelujah. And you know, the thing is there's a limit to everything. You know, I would never get on anybody who bought a lottery ticket. Do you know what I'm saying? Hey, give God an opportunity, right? But when somebody goes to these scratch things all the time, man, you see some of these people with these wads of stuff in their pockets. And they're pulling out. I'm here, you're trying to get a bottle of water. And you're waiting in line for this person to do every scratch off, everything. Turning this one, turning that one. You know what they did? They left with nothing. They stole money. I mean, I see some of these old ladies with a wad of these lottery things. I mean, they're going in there. It looks like they bought everyone for the whole neighborhood. See, like I said, I'm not against somebody going out and buying a lottery ticket. But there are limits and boundaries that you and I must, because then what happens is we begin to fall into the worldly way of self. Amen? I mean, the Bible says that we're to walk in the liberty, but don't abuse it. Amen? So there are boundaries that God has set for each and every one of us. And sometimes somebody's boundaries may be a little bit different than someone else's. That's why that's important, a fellowship, isn't there? But don't make that as an excuse. Okay, where were we? Luke 14, 33. I think. Where am I at? Yeah. Luke 14, 33. What's it say anyways? So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my what? He can't be my disciple. No, this is an area where the first key we talked about was sanctification. The second key must be, that's a two-part thing. You must have revelation and realization that you don't own nothing. You must have revelation and realization that you do not own nothing. And that you are nothing without Him. Oh, hallelujah. Man, that's mine. That's mine. Remember when Jesus told the man that was wealthy, He said, yes, I fast twice a week. I give tithes and offerings. I feed the poor. I do all kinds of stuff. And Jesus said, cool, sell everything. Come on and follow me. He said, but. He got into the butt ministry, didn't he? He did no longer the head. He got butted. Hello? He challenged the Lord, and the Lord challenged him. See, the one thing is we must have revelation and the realization that you and I don't own nothing. And when He says to you, give it up. Why? Because if you're still fighting for it, then it means that you're afraid of giving it up. And what's behind every fear? An idol. And it becomes idolatry. Why? Because it's promoting self. Now don't come to me and tell me the Lord told you me to give you my bike. Because that's our bike. God will have to personally tell me himself. Hallelujah. And you know what? If he said it, I'd do it. Because I know he's got something better for me or another purpose. Hallelujah. Luke 18. But see, you're not going to know that without relationship. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to go through things to really, you know, and that's what was going on with Adam and Eve, because they were learning who God was. But it got cut short. And see, so now we're going through the process, and everything that you do, you're learning who God is. How? Hey, listen, if you don't get in trouble, I'm not telling you to go out and get in trouble now, all right? I'm talking about things that of our past and so forth. And you know, we've got things that everybody's going through something. You're either in the wilderness, going in the wilderness, or coming out. Okay, Luke 18, verse 29. In verse 29, and he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time in the age to come eternal life." So he's saying, listen, there is a reward for denying yourself. Hello? There's a reward for putting the kingdom of God first. There is a reward for those things. There's a reward. You know, there's nothing wrong with starting a family. But I'm telling you, as a servant of the Most High God, God is first. God is first, no matter what. You and I, and I always share everybody, a servant of the Lord does not have a life. He does not have a life. She does not have a life. The life that we live is to live unto Christ. The blessings are to have a family. Hello? And to be an expression of Christ in our families. Amen. It's an honor and a blessing to have a family, as long as it's walking according to the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Romans 15:1. We must have revelation and realization that we don't own anything. Hello? That's why he says, listen, if you'll forsake all these things, there's great reward. Romans 15. Oh, hallelujah. And verse 1. Read it with me. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. I like that word. I want you to start looking at ourselves. Not to please ourselves. Not to please that child of darkness. Not to please that child of darkness. Not to please that child. Not to please self. Why? That's why Jesus said something very important. He said, I've come to lay down my life for my friends. See, self will not lay down its life. Ooh, you kidding me? Whew. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Would you read it with me? Examine your what? Yourself. As to whether you are what? In the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are what? Disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now let me share something with you. This is important. He says, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith or whether you're in the flesh or in the spirit. examine yourselves. In other words, the third key that we're to do is take time to examine ourselves. Many people don't. They just keep... Next thing you know, they're shooting off in the flesh, shooting off ungodly fruits and all kinds of goofy things. Then they get reined in by someone else. You know why? Because they've not taken time to examine themselves. Every day, daily, we examine ourselves. Daily. Not just one time out of the day. You're going to have to examine yourself in every decision you make, whether it is of self or of God. Every decision. You'll have to discern who's motivating your spirit. What spirit is motivating your spirit? Examine yourselves. Take the time. Let me, you know, because self always creeps up, doesn't it? Amen? Two things I want to express about examining yourself. One of the things that you'll know whether you're manifesting in self is if there's worry or fear manifesting. That's the first thing. Worry and fear will always be... A, worry and fear. B, the second thing. Criticism and offense. Those two areas, you'll always know whether you're faith walking or self walking. Amen? Why? Because worry and fear will be there, and criticism or offense. What are you taking the time for? You're taking the time to expose these things. Amen? You're taking the time to examine. But in true reality, what you're doing is actually exposing them for you to see. Everybody else can see it. Now it's time for you. So the first key is sanctification. The second key is to get revelation and realization that you don't own nothing. The third key is to take time to examine yourself. Or take time to expose. Because what you want to do is, as you're doing these, you're going to either know whether you're walking in the faith, which is in spirit, or you're walking in the flesh and trusting your own self. Amen? The Bible says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and curses is the man who trusts in himself. Luke 12. Luke 12, 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, or what you will put on. Life is more than food, hello, and body is more than clothing. What's he saying? Don't worry. It just promotes self, doesn't it? Think about it. Fear. What's behind fear? An idol. Right?
Yeah, but what about me?
Hey, me. You know, I love how Jesus expressed things, especially with John the Baptist. You know, when John said something very powerful, he said, Jesus must increase that I must decrease. Right? Because John was an expression of the old man. All right, and you got to remember something, that in the Bible there are more attributes than just one, according to a passage or an event or something that happened. Because when things happen in the spirit, they're multiple. They are a representation of past, present, and future. But you must be in the spirit to understand what God is talking about for you at that time. That's the difference between letter and spirit. Amen. In this, and I just want to share this quickly, that John showed up in representation of the old man. Jesus showed up in representation of the new man. The first thing that happened to John was he got put back in jail. Or he got put in jail. Hello? An expression that the flesh must be what? Crucified. And then the second thing that happened to John was he was what? Beheaded. Oh, hallelujah. Some of us just need to stick that Holy Ghost rag right in the mouth of self sometimes. Amen? Shut that mind off of self. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Therefore, in verse 6, it says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. In other words, stir yourself up. Stirring yourself up means stirring your faith up. Get in the faith. Get in the Spirit. Amen? Get in the Spirit. Why? So you can deny yourself. He says for something very powerful. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but power and love and sound mind. These three things, power, love of God, and a sound mind of Christ, will be disqualified and nullified by associating with fear. It cripples it. Why? Because behind fear is what? An idol. Oh, good. Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 8, it says, yes, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as what? Rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Oh, hallelujah. Now, go to verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Self has a memory of its own. It loves to promote wicked pleasures of the past because it doesn't want to lose control. Does everybody understand that? I'm going to repeat this. Self has a memory of its own. It loves to promote wicked pleasures of the past because it doesn't want to lose control. It fights for control. See, so how many times have you tried to get rid of that devil and it just didn't go and you're still struggling? Because it wasn't the devil. It was you. It was the old you, not the new you. Now listen, here's the fourth key. We must sever every past emotion and accept your new creation. And relinquish control of your life. You must sever every past emotion. The fourth key is to sever every past emotion and accept your new creation. People are still fighting. Not fully. You know how many people really do not accept their full new creation? Many. They still think that they got to do other things. You know why? Because they become men pleasers. That's called self pleasers. Instead of God pleasers. And we must relinquish control of our life. Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Woo! What did he say? It's very powerful. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. Let me share something with you. The fifth key that we must do is to pray or worship till there is a heart change. You must pray or worship till there is a heart change. Philippians 4. Oh, hallelujah. Philippians 4. Is everybody there? 6 and 7. Be anxious for what? Ooh, nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Reason and justification. Whew. But what about me? Hey, we were casting a devil out of a person one night. I mean, we probably cast 15 or 20 demons out of this person. Finally, this one devil came up and said, "But where will I go? What about me? I'm not hurting anybody." I'm telling you, this thing was talking to me. I'm like, whoa. I almost felt sorry for it. And then I came to my senses. The Holy Ghost elbowed me. "What are you doing?" "Oh, yeah. Come on, in the name of Jesus." I'm going, "Come on." I was casting all these devils out, and the next person started casting devils, and I came back and cast the devils out, man. And this thing was boasting about murdering 30 generations of this person's family and all kinds of stuff. Person was a Jew. Man, we're casting, this person's heaving in this garbage bucket we had there. I was only a few weeks old in Christ. I was having a good time. I was like, "Man, this stuff is real. Come on out. Yes, we got power and authority. Hallelujah." Then that one little demon come out. "Where will I go?" "Ooh, I don't know. Where will you go?" Maybe we can find a place for you in the doghouse. I should have just said, "Why don't you go to the pigs?" I probably didn't know that scripture then. Holy Ghost elbowed me. "Yo, what are you doing? Come out." Hallelujah. They're probably still laughing about the stuff I've done, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. Hello. You know, self can't wait. Self can't wait. I could go on for days talking about some of this stuff, I'm telling you. But I'm going to make it brief. The prodigal son. The two sons. Right? Now check this out. The one had an inheritance. They both had an inheritance. But the one said, "I want it now." And what did he do? He went out and blew it. Let me share something with you. Your inheritance that's from your God, your Father. Let me share with you. Is dangerous if you try to get it in the natural setting, in the carnal setting. It is dangerous to you. The only way that your inheritance will work on your behalf is if you're in the spirit, but it'll work against you if you're in the flesh. Yes, we have promises, we have inheritance. People claim and decree and all this stuff. But let me tell you, if you're in the flesh, your inheritance will hurt you. It will destroy you. Unless you're in the spirit. Because you're not dealing with something from man. You're dealing something from God. And remember, he does not associate with self. Oh. See, the prodigal son wanted his inheritance for self. He blew it in gambling and boozing and prostitution and everything else, and it destroyed him. Destroyed him. His father tried to counsel him, didn't he? But he rejected the counsel. He could, self cannot wait. Because it's a promoter of self. I want, I've got. Amen? It cannot wait. Oh, hallelujah. Self rejects counsel. I want to share something with you, very important. The sixth thing that we must do is seek counsel. Amen? We must seek counsel. Go to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs 11. Oh, help. Help. In verse 14, would you read it with me? Where there is no counsel, the people what? Fall. Oh, hallelujah. Where there's no counsel, people fall. Why? Because of self, the promoter of self, which associates with pride, and says pride comes before a fall. Do you all see how it's connected? Where there's no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Go to Psalm 1. Look at this, 1:1. Oh, hallelujah. The sixth key is to seek counsel. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, the ungodly counsel is a counsel of self. It's amazing how many people go to secular arenas to get counsel. They're believers. And they go get counsel from people that are backslidden. It blows my mind. They get counsel from someone because they have money or they're being blessed physically, financially or whatever, and they think God is blessing them when they're self-blessed. But they're out of God's will, out of their destiny. And they go seek counsel. That's ungodly counsel. And it says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the godly, so cursed is a man who does. Nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Like I said, self cannot wait. Self rejects counsel to promote self. Now, why do we seek counsel? So that we can expose self-will. Does everybody understand it? Why do we seek counsel? To expose self-will. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 28. Would you read it with me? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 28. Is everybody there? Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Wow. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fantasies. Isn't that wild? For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. It's amazing in how people will reject counsel. And then they, when the counsel is given, they just think that it's given from a man, and they're looking at a man because they can't see the things in the spirit, and they reject it. They hear it, they know it, and they say, no, I just don't agree with it. But what they've not agreed with was the counsel of the Lord, not the person. And their end is folly. They will fall. They will manifest. Because you cannot reject the counsel of the Lord and get away with it. It just doesn't work that way. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want to share something with you. They have a form of godliness, but no submission. They will fall. Look at verse 7 for a second. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom in what? Instruction. Calls him a fool. Oh, hallelujah. You know why this happens? Because they have no solid root. They've been trying to fake it until they make it, but they haven't made it. Self still runs the life. Look at, go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And verse 20. Are you getting this tonight? It's so important, I'm telling you, in this time. I know for some of us this is like, whoa, too much for me. But you'll get it. I guarantee you. You'll get it. I know it's a lot. I know we're a little over. Hang in there. In verse 20, would you read it with me? But he who receives seed on stony places. Now let me share something. Stony places, in other words, those are not fertile places. Amen? That's stony. That's something that's not right yet. It's not been, it's not, you know, like when you try to plant seed somewhere and it's not cleaned up. There's still stone. There's still rebellion there. It's a stony heart. There's still, you know, there's pieces of it. There's still stuff of me, myself, and I. There's still all of that stuff of my will. You know? And he says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. You know? Hey, listen, I love when people are amening and stuff like that. But I'll tell you what, when God reveals something to me and an individual's out there amen, and I know that it's not, it's just nothing but baloney. I know it. Man, it stirs my spirit. And I'm like, what do you want me to say? And he says, nothing. Then I have to beat my flesh down. Especially when you know things about an individual, when God reveals to you. But let me tell you, he doesn't reveal all these things to just everybody to blast it. You know what I'm saying? Stony ground. Praise God. Now listen. But he who received the seed on stony places is, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, amen, hallelujah, yeah, praise God, and all that stuff. Yet he has no root in himself. Amen? But endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he what? Stumbles. Because he does not have a solid connection. Does everybody get that? He doesn't have a solid connection. He amens and everything else when things are, because when we're together in fellowship, you get it. But then because that connection is not solid, bam, that person falls because self is still running its life. It's not learned how to crucify itself. No solid connection, wavers, is movable, easily offended. Do you ever get around someone that's easily offended? You know why? Self is alive. Self is alive. You know, you got to be careful in how you say stuff to this person because they'll easily get offended. Well, listen, the first thing, you know what their offense is? Anger. What's anger do? It protects pride. What's pride do? It protects self. Why? Well, so here they are getting easily offended. They can't receive counsel, correction, or direction. You try to tell them something, oh man, you're always meeting me out. You try to share something with, man, you know, you try to share them with love or whatever. You make a suggestion by the Spirit. Man, I just don't believe, I can't receive that. That's just not for me. They're easily offended. Why? Because self, they do not have a solid connection, and self is still running its life. Easily offended individuals. Oh, hallelujah. The seventh one. Oh, hallelujah. The seventh key. Seven means complete and perfect. Whew. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become what? Disqualified. Disciplining yourself. In other words, you know, listen, discipline yourself. Did you ever spank a little baby? I mean, your child, you know, I'm not talking about an infant or something like that. That's disciplining, isn't it? Well, you must discipline yourself. Give it a Holy Ghost kick in the head sometimes. You must discipline yourself. That's what he's taught. Does everybody understand him? Discipline yourself. Discipline it. That's what the Bible says, casting down all thoughts, right? Thoughts, imaginations that are coming against the knowledge of God. And doing that and disciplining it or destroying it when your obedience is fulfilled. Why? Because you're disciplining. We must discipline self. Amen? Discipline self. Discipline yourself. Paul was talking, I discipline my body. Right? Well, he's talking about flesh. I discipline myself. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes you got to force feed yourself. And what I'm talking about is you, no matter, it may not feel good and whatever, you got to get that word out. You got to put a teaching tape in and force feed yourself. That's called disciplining yourself. Be quiet. Listen. Time out. Make yourself sit on that chair and shut up and listen to the word. Come on, you can hear yourself going, rah, 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 grumbling and complaining and all kinds of other stuff. Shut up. Get behind me, devil. And you're talking to the devil when it's actually you. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, but put on Christ. Put on Christ. It's our responsibility to put on Christ. Why? So his fruits can be manifested. Look at Galatians 5. These are the fruits. Hallelujah. Galatians 5. I'm going to go a little faster if you don't mind. 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified self, or the flesh, with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. We're to put on Christ and let the fruits be manifested. Is everybody with me? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff here so we can go home. 1 Peter chapter 5. I think everybody got it. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Discipline yourself. How do you discipline yourself? Well, you put on Christ. One of the things that you want to do is make yourself humble. Eat humble pie. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Because be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Oh, hallelujah. Now go to chapter 4 here. Something. And starting at verse 1, this is powerful. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our lifetime in doing the will of self. Hello. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, abominable idolatries, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. In regard to these, they think it's strange that you don't do those anymore. And then they speak evil of you. What are they trying to do? Promote yourself. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now I'm going to close at Romans 8. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 12. Discipline yourself. Make yourself do it. Is everybody there? Romans 8, verse 12. Everybody read this with me. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh or to self, to live according to the flesh or self. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? Die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by where we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And to God be the glory. Amen. Is everybody okay? Did you get it? Praise be to God. Victory over self. Seven keys, quickly. I want to just run over them one more time. Seven keys. The first one is sanctification. The second one is revelation and realization that you don't own nothing. The third one is to take time to examine, to expose. Amen? The fourth one is you must sever past emotions and accept your new creation, relinquishing control of your life. The fifth one is you must pray or worship till there is a heart change. The sixth one is to seek counsel. And the seventh one is to discipline yourself. Victory over self. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I plead the blood of Jesus on this seed that will grow and bear fruit for your glory, that you'll protect it from the evil one, and you'll turn that area where there's a stony place into fertile ground, that the seed may grow and bear root, that there be a solid connection unto you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless.